The plot could hardly be more simple. Man walks up to two fishermen, says, "Come with me," and they get up and do it. Sees two more fishermen, says the same thing, and they get up and follow. It's pretty much it, except that real flesh and blood are moving, living in this story. As our flashing eyes, real courage, considerable loss and risk, and uncertainty and vision and pulsing joy, and the beginning of momentous transformation that will ripple from here into the world. So let's begin by trying to see as clearly as we can what was happening in its original historical setting. Two young men are standing thigh deep in lake water, throwing out big nets, hauling them in, throwing them back out again. This is not for fun. This is their trade. Whatever they catch will amount to their income. These two are brothers, Andrew and Simon, and they do not have a clue that someone at a distance has fixed his eyes on them and now is purposefully striding toward them. He gets to where they are, stops and looks at them as they look at him, and he says, "Follow me." And I guess he was smiling as he said the rest. "Boys, I'll show you some real fishing. Come fish with me for human life." Andrew and Simon look at each other. Both can see that the other can feel it. They nod to each other and head for the shore. They drop their nets onto the sand and walk away with Jesus. Why so instantly? Why does it seem almost automatic? Did they already know something about this man? Well, almost surely they did, because he was now living in their little town, Capernaum. He had moved from Nazareth to take up residence there. And already he was talking, proclaiming news, good news as he called it, of God's kingdom being very near at hand. People were spellbound by the way he spoke. The authorities wouldn't like it much because he talked about how the power of powerful people wasn't very real. How God favors the lowly and the outcast. How God was already at work to lift them up while the know-it-alls and the judgmental were on their way down. There was risk in what he said, but there was joy in it too. Now, he could speak severely at times, but there was also this electrifying gladness in Jesus, and wonders were happening, and a whole new world seemed possible. And now there he was, standing on the shore right in front of them, looking into their eyes, and inviting them right now, "Follow me." And they have to decide, am I in or am I out? Do I walk away from my possessions and my place to risk myself with him, his cause, his faith? They see gladness in his eyes, and without a word, they walk to the shore, throw their nets on the ground, and as he turns to move on, they follow. Just up the beach, happens all over again. Two more brothers, James, John, sitting in a boat with their dad, mending their nets. They look as Jesus calls. He calls them as he called the others. And instantly, without a word, they got out of the boat and left their father too. What's left on the lake is the rocking of a boat, mostly empty now, except with a father mouth wide open. "I can't believe they left me." Well, off they go. Now four following Jesus. And here's the question. Do you recall any moment in your life that bear at least a little of the feel of that one? A moment arrives and presents an invitation to do what the core of you strongly suspects is the right thing to do. Though maybe it would cost you something, maybe would be inconvenient, challenging, and uncertain, also possibly thrilling, offering some very new way of being. Maybe this was the possibility of some major turning point in your life, or maybe some rather small thing that if you did choose it today and then chose it again tomorrow might very well open up to a very significant change of life. I wonder if a great many of our days whisper that kind of invitation, if we'll hear it, to follow Christ. And we do. Or we don't. There's a big difference in what those two may be accomplished by. Because following is actually about saying yes. But not following doesn't have to involve actually saying no. It can mean just saying nothing, doing nothing, staying occupied with other things, or just putting off a decision. But putting off a decision may just as well be saying no. As Harvey Cox said, not to decide is to decide. Did you know that there were other people out there fishing on the day that Peter and John and Andrew and James got their call from Jesus? Out there in another boat were Dick and Jane, Bert and Ethel. Follow me, said Jesus. Well, how safe is it, said Dick. This is theologically problematic, said Jane. I'm in an existential crisis, said Bert. It's hot out here today, said Ethel. And they all turned to tell him, we're thinking about it. But Jesus had already gone. In the most crucial matters, it is possible to miss our chance. A moment arrives, and it's time to choose, to act, to speak, to say yes to this and no to that, and commit to doing, choosing what is right. And if we do not act on it, how many times do you think we'll hear the invitation to act again? We feel the stirring of the truth in ourselves. If we do not act on the stirring, how long before the stirring ceases? If for the longest time we aren't listening, the day will arrive when we cannot even hear. Put off long enough acting on what you know, and in time you can even lose the knowing of it. Is this why the story makes a point, not once but twice, of saying they immediately followed him? Why do so many of us find it hard to choose what is right when the right thing presents itself? Maybe it's because choosing one thing always means saying goodbye to the alternatives. Choosing the Christ way means goodbye to whatever else has been controlling you. Goodbye to the persons or groups that have been using you. It means goodbye to the convenience of coasting through your life or to being a slave to your illusions of yourself. Goodbye to the grip of your addictions. Goodbye to your need to be needed. Goodbye to paralyzing fear. Goodbye to the guilt you really thought you had to carry, but you don't. Goodbye to a narcotized soul and a joyless life. Some of that is hard, to walk away from if you've been carrying it for years? No wonder we hesitate when the moment comes to choose the Christ way, when it means saying goodbye to all of that. I've been drawn to a poem by Mary Oliver called The Journey. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began, though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble and you felt the old tug at your ankles, "Mend my life," each voice cried. But you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do. It was already late enough and a wild night and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice which you slowly recognized as your own that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the life you could save. I would call that a Lake of Galilee decision. And did you know that the word decision at root means to cut from, as the word incision means to cut into, the word decision means to cut away from, to be left with what you are persuaded is best. So there you are. And there on the shore stands God's beloved, speaking to us in a voice that means to be our truest voice. Follow me. And it's time for decision, an invitation to cut free from all that cannot save us, so as to run with all our might to the way that will, to the one who will. And if we say, "I did that already," the divine reply may well be, "Yes, you did. But this is a new day. Time for how you'll decide again." One last thing. Did you know that deciding to follow Jesus was easier for the second set of brothers than it was for the first pair? It's obvious. When they, the second pair, heard the call, they looked up and saw the other two had already made the choice to go. They saw the gladness and the freedom in their faces, which is simply to say, when any of us, or any few of us, will decide for the Christ way, take our stand for His way in this world, it helps the rest of us to choose and keep choosing what is right. The courage of your faith can kindle the courage of mine. And so it will grow. It will grow here and beyond here. It will grow throughout the world. That's what He called us for. To choose His gladness and His freedom for the sake of God's love to change the world. Beginning with us. Amen.